most people think. Hello and welcome to episode 20 of What Most People Think. In the style of this current election, I'm going to use some sound bites for you. Let me be clear, this podcast is oven ready. Let's get this podcast done for the many and not the few. Free broadband! Free broadband, that's what you do, isn't it? When you've run out of ideas, you just offer free broadband. That was funny, man. You know, like as a socialist, some of Corbyn's stuff, they're legitimate things. You know, whether you agree with them or not, offering nationalisation of rail, gas, mail. Might you say free broadband? It does sound a bit like Ned's crazy closing down sale, doesn't it? Hey, free broadband! I must have lost my mind here. Free broadband for everybody. But anyway, so we will talk about politics in a moment. I hope you're well. Thank you for downloading the last couple of episodes where I did solo ones after me bitching about the fact nobody downloaded them. They did really well. Today is a guest podcast, but what I've decided is I'm only going to have guests on when I think it's someone that can really bring something new and interesting to the table. And I know that on this podcast we often talk, don't we, about male-female issues. I'm obsessed with them, basically, and feminism and gender politics and sexual politics. Well, Jade Adams is a brilliant comic, and I went to see her at the Edinburgh Fringe, and she did a show called The Ballad of Kylie Jenner's Old Face. And it was kind of like a very working class take on feminism. So I thought I'd get her in on the podcast for us to have a chat with and just kind of pick her brain about perhaps a more working class, pragmatic view of feminism. We have an interesting wide ranging chat, and we sort of do a few letters and advice at the end as well. Before we do with that, we've got to catch up on the politics, haven't we? I mean, it's just going mad, isn't it? So now, if you vote for the Tories, you're Islamophobic. And if you vote for Labour, you're anti-Semitic. We've got to vote for Lib Dems, have we? But they're kind of like democrophobic. But there's been a lot happening. I would like to focus on the Question Time debate that was on last Friday, which was on the 22nd of November or 23rd, because it had all four leaders on it. And Corbyn had done okay in the ITV one on the Tuesday, which was the head-to-head with Boris Johnson. And this time, I don't think he did as well. And also, it made it look worse because he went out and he had that demented clapping thing going on. Somehow, Labour or Momentum had managed to kind of pack this audience with some very pro-Corbyn people. And they're too blatant, aren't they? They seem to think that they can win the election with clapping. Not just clapping loud, but really fast. If I clap fast. The whole election is going to be won on some massive clapometer, like those game shows from the 50s. But I don't think he was that impressive, Corbyn, because he sort of had a home crowd and he still was just okay. I mean, he wasn't terrible, but there was a lot of the people in the audience did seem like plants because they were asking questions where they'd managed to fold in like a compliment to Jeremy Corbyn. You know, Jeremy, dear leader, nice guy, why are people so mean to you, Corbyn? Let me ask this completely objective question now. Nicola Sturgeon, she gets an easy ride. Well, she did in this one from the British media. You know, they just like, so Nicola, I just like to ask, why are you so nice, Nicola? Nicola, I'm a middle class Londoner, and I just think you're really nice. And I just want to ask you, how can I vote for you even though I don't live in Scotland? I just begging to get her in front of a more mixed spectrum of Scottish political sensibilities there, because that would have torn her apart. Which obviously happened once she had the Andrew Neil interview, and he, my God, she looked. I mean, I saw. She looked like, you know, in cricket. It's been a while since I've done a cricket analogy. But you know, like when you get a batsman that comes in and scores loads of runs, but you're sort of like, have they really faced any good bowling yet? Do you know what I mean? Like they've had a little series against West Indies in England, flat tracks, you know, and then suddenly they're up against. Do you know what I mean? They're up against Jofra Archer. Coming in, bowling, and my God, Andrew Neil gave her some chin music, didn't he? She looks very uncomfortable. But that's just what should happen. But the London-centric media do seem to be a bit in awe of her because she's nice. She's just nice. She's just a clear communicator. Even though the crux of what she's saying is fundamentally fucking paradoxical, she says it in a nice way. Jo Swinson. Now, Jo Swinson, she did not have many friends in that studio, did she? She came out and she just thought she could bounce on with that Jo Swinson energy. I'm young, I'm nice. And she won't get none of that Sturgeon love. She won't get none. But the thing is with Labour, because it was packed with Labour, or certainly the most vocal people in the audience were Labour supporters, and they really hate the Lib Dems, do you know what I mean? And they came at her, and she stood her ground, in fairness, to the Swinson. She reminded me, it was like a tough gig, and she stood her ground and she did her time. But she reminded me of when I did a Christmas gig in Nottingham in 2007, and I got slow hand clapped. But I did my time. That's the main thing. Nobody wanted me to be there, but by God, I did what was contractually obliged to me. And she kept on finishing these points with a flourish, and she was doing okay to actually wrap up her points, and she was waiting for this applause break that just never came. It just never came. And then finally on was Boris Johnson. And he actually did something that I thought no politician would do in this campaign. There was, straight out of the gate, there was a woman that asked about retrospective balancing payments for women whose pension was brought forward, delayed. And he just said, it's too expensive. It's just refreshing, isn't it? Just refreshing to hear a politician go, not this time, not for you. Anyway, next question. One thing with Boris, though, is in this campaign is I just feel like this is there to be won, this election. You know, there could be a decent majority, but he sometimes seems to be strolling around it, you know, and hesitating, and he's fluffing his lines. And, you know, when it comes to the economy, stop talking about fucking Brexit as well. Like we get it. You're going to get Brexit done. You know, mention it a couple of times in each appearance, but he really, with his fucking oven-ready metaphor. I mean, what is that? Is that supposed to be appealing to working class people? It's like, fuck me, old Boris uses an oven. I didn't realise he was one of us. Let's vote for Boris with his oven ready. Oh, did he just say microwave? We've been known to use those, haven't we, Gil? God, I'll be voting for Boris. But Boris sort of survived it. He looked like the adrenaline of knowing he was going out to a tough crowd actually gave him a little bit of kick that he needed to actually just fucking get on with it. And he also, for the first time in this campaign, mentioned the fact that the jobs market is buoyant and the wage settlements are outstripping inflation. If I was a Tory, I'd go on with that with a fucking T-shirt. That would be on my T-shirt. I'd have it tattooed on my fucking forehead. Because that's what matters to people, isn't it? It's what matters to most people, right? What most people think, he said, remembering to name-check the whole point of the podcast for the first time in quite some time. But so just before we get on the chat with Jay, just a quick thank you and a fuck you. I want to thank you to the makers of Lego Star Wars The Force Awakens on PS4, because me and my son have been smashing this game and he loves it. He loves it so much. It's been the best thing, playing all the levels and stuff like that. He doesn't always know what's going on, you know, but like watching his reaction, because sometimes all you got to do is shoot stormtroopers. That's what he likes best, right? And when I hand him the joypad, the noise that he makes, I've never heard him make this noise before. He goes, as he literally falling over himself to grab the joypad for me. And I know that some people be going, but Jeff, you know, he's a 3.5-year-old boy. Does he really need to be playing a game that involves guns? And, you know, he might grow up thinking, what? He might grow up thinking that it's okay to shoot Lego people. I think as a parent, if my son grows up thinking that if a huge Lego man attacks him, that he can shoot them, I think that's all right. Actually, because I think that if that was happening, something odd would have shifted in the sort of reality paradigm, and maybe he should be shooting them, you know. And also the main thing is that he's a good kid. He's got why am I reacting to like this, like my parenting is being fucking off-steaded? No one's actually said anything to me, but I'm fighting this battle in my head, which is part of my problem. A quick fuck you to men that blow huge vape clouds. Okay, I can't remember if I've discussed this before, but I've just seen it happening again recently. Blokes, I don't know, it's usually blokes that do this, and they sort of blow this huge vape cloud, then they look around, don't they? They look around with all that sense of wonder of a child that's just done a big shit, and they just look so pleased with themselves, and they seem to expect credit for it. I don't know what they're waiting for, like just some guy that someone's going to come up and go, hey, dude, great smoking. Essentially, they want to be congratulated on their smoking. That's what, you've set your levels and your fucking rig or whatever it's called, that you can blow this huge... Do you know what, it would be impressive, right, if that was pure tobacco smoke? But it's not, is it? You know, you look at that cloud, you think, wow, there goes a rebel, and you walk through it and it fucking smells of cherry. Okay, James Dean did not smoke cherry cigarettes. Okay, he the fact that it was bad for him is why it was cool. I don't know about vaping, man. It's just something sinister about it. You know, there's something sinister. I wonder if there'll be the equivalent, you know, like when you used to have older relatives that used to chain smoke. That's not so much of a thing anymore, is it? But you know, they used to get like the yellow fucking fingers and the yellow hair. Like, that was commitment. And they used to have like a little spot above them in the lounge that was just brown. I mean, like, the level of the addiction to just see that and not think, I might be smoking too much. There appears to be like a sort of radioactive trail of me in my front room where I sit and do this. It's probably fine. I'll just carry on. You know, but is there going to be a similar thing with vaping? You know, are there going to be like cherry hair? There's just going to be people that will reach old age and they won't be able to stop their hair smelling of whatever fucking weird, like, popcorn shit or roasted almond fucking... Just smoke, for God's sake. If I was in the tobacco industry now, I would rebrand tobacco as organic smoking. That's what I would say. I would say that cigarettes are actually vegan. And actually vape, I'll just make up something. I'd say that it has like gelatin in it. Because we're in the post-truth age, right? And then everyone be hopping about going on. I'd say, you know what? Instead of moaning about my lies, why don't you just come up with a better lie? Anyway, let's get on to the chat with Jade. But just quickly before we do, I'm aware that there is a buzzing noise in the background here. It's fucking aircon. I booked this room and I don't know how to turn it off. And I don't know, maybe I've just drawn attention to it. I don't know, what did you want? Fucking refund? I'll tell you what, why don't I make my tour tickets cheaper? Oh, I forgot, they already are. So, once again with the defensiveness, but genuinely, apologies for the background noise. So, Jade Adams, welcome to What Most People Think.
Hello, Jeff Norcott. I'm really happy to be here.
You, with your regional accent.
Yeah, listen to that. It's the moneymaker, isn't it?
Now, Jay, I come and saw your show, your Edinburgh show in Edinburgh.
Thank you.
I think that's the best place to see an Edinburgh show.
Yeah.
And it's called The Ballad of Kylie Jenner's Face.
Old Face.
Old Face, because she's got a new face.
She's got a different face.
She's got a new... And what struck out and what a lot of people see, incredibly well reviewed, sold out houses... very funny show. What stood out was it was a slightly different take on feminism as such, you know. So what made you think that there was, because obviously you've done a lot of stuff that's been singing based before and entertainment based. What made you think that there was a different take available?
Well, I noticed that feminism was a predominantly middle class conversation.
Yeah.
And often I felt excluded from the chat. And I thought, well, if I am, and I'm actually middle class, let's be honest now, things have changed.
No one listening is agreeing with that or buying that at all, but let's just go with that.
But, you know, like, I'm from a working class background, yeah. And I feel like, well, you know, if I'm feeling excluded from that conversation, then loads of other women must be. And then I was thinking, well, you know, do working class women really care about feminism? Because where I'm from, women are just in charge. There's no sort of, you know, like, it's not often you're in a working class household without some, like, Larry woman shouting at everyone about not doing something, not doing the washing up, or their husband not being home. But I just thought it'd be an interesting take on it, because you just hear a lot of... I had just heard a lot of women moaning about men... and obviously, quite rightly, some of the awful things that men have done recently.
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, the only way I feel that I can be a good person is if I take some criticism myself. So I wanted to sort of poke some holes in the sort of concept of modern day feminism.
Yeah.
Because I just feel like if we're going to show the lads, you know, how it's done, we should, you know, try and be better than we have been, I think. Because when people say to me, you know, stick up for your women, be there for your girls, I think back to university and primary school, actually, but university was pretty bad, which was some of the worst times of my life. And it wasn't a man that put me there. It was girls.
Well, this is one of the odd things about fourth wave feminism is kind of what's come with it is this sense of women as being intuitively virtuous. Like, women are just nice. Right, and men are bad, and there's the broad brushstrokes of it are where perhaps everyday people have slightly dropped out, I suppose. Yeah. They thought, well, that's not true. My mum's a fucking nightmare. Do you know what I mean? Or, you know, like you say, you were bullied by girls. I suppose the answer of modern feminism would be to say, well, you know, would be to take the blame away from those girls. Well, they only did that because of internalised misogyny, or because society made them do it, or Grazia magazine made them do it.
They did it all for their themselves, because survival, that, you know, if you think about early man and early woman, men went out and, you know, chop some trees down, kill some deer, I don't know what they do.
Yeah.
And then we stay at home and, you know, we look after the house and we wait for our man to come home. Mm. The way that women have always been around each other is this this sort of fight for attention, because there's always been more, well, during war times as well, there have been more women than there would be men. And it's just the way women have responded to, the way that women fight or win battles is by being underhanded. They can't, you know, like physically women can't overpower people, that as many people. I probably could, because I'm quite strong, but there's, you know, the majority of women can't overpower someone in a fight, so they'll do it in clever
well, you see this way. A lot, like I always thought that, you know, you talk about abuse from men to women, and obviously with the physical difference, that's particularly brutal. But having said that, I've seen loads of blokes just get bullied by women that are a lot more emotionally intelligent, that would just pick and win a fight just for shits and giggles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you see the idiot, you know, just going around punching a cupboard, like injuring himself. And but he possibly, I don't know, maybe, whereas working class men have the language to perhaps articulate what's wrong with their relationship. They just think, oh, that's just what it's like, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think that women, like, whatever class you are as a woman, you are encouraged to, and you generally have the ability to articulate what is making you unhappy about your relationship.
Yeah.
Whereas blokes, I don't think that they always know.
They never, I don't think they...
Deep down they know, but they just tick over and they just go, it's just what it's like, isn't it? You know, just how it goes.
This is just what life is.
And then they go and gamble 10 grand on a credit card in bookies, and they don't realise that's an internalised act of rebellion.
Yeah, they don't realise, like, you know, sleeping with your wife's best mate across the road is, again, an act of rebellion. They don't understand. So I spoke to my granddad today. He phoned me, it's my birthday, and he phoned me up. And my nan died in July, and she, how do I put this, was not great. And my mum had to move out quite early. And my granddad told me about a week after she died that she's never said the words, I love you, in 50 years of marriage. And she was quite tyrannical. And then he's on the phone to me today, and he's talking about how, you know, he misses his wife, and he calls her mum as well. He doesn't call her Priscilla. It's really weird. He misses Nan and all of that. And, you know, he's told that the funeral directors that he wants to be put in the same casket as her, which was odd.
Yeah.
And then the next breath was, oh, yeah, your Nan didn't talk to me for 10 years. She just used to shuffle around the house. And I wanted to say to him, Grandad, you were living with an absolute arsehole. Why can't you say it?
Mm.
Why are you like, oh, it's just what it's like? It's not just what it's like. If someone's doing something you don't like, you should be able to go, oi, mate, stop fucking up.
Well, I suppose, like, this year, like, maybe with Love Island and stuff like that, we had the emergence of something like called gaslighting, right? Which is the idea that men might cynically manipulate women to make them think that things that weren't happening were happening, and vice versa.
Yeah.
Now, I think for a lot of people, that's quite a lot to take in, that the idea that men were manipulating women. Like, I'm not saying that it doesn't happen.
Well, they do. So if a man cheats on a woman, so I will say this about gaslighting. If a man cheats on a woman, the only way, and if he has an affair, the only way that he can carry on with that affair is by gaslighting a woman, which is by her, you know, sort of, you know, thinking that she knows something's happening.
And right, so she's picking up on little signs here and there.
And he's saying, it's not, you're imagining this, you're mad, you're crazy. That's what gaslighting is. So yes. However, women do this too.
Yeah, that's what I sort
women,
of thought.
Women are probably more manipulative than men. In fact, men are more stupid at having affairs than women are.
Yeah, like, they'll get caught out in a much smaller time frame, I feel. You know what I mean? Like, women will take that shit to the grave. Like, you know, maybe your nan, maybe it's...
She's taken summit to the grave. She's taken summit to hell, mate. That's where she's gone.
And that's what I find, I suppose, people find odd now, because, like, the liberal bubble and stuff moves on with these new definitions and these new words. And it takes a while for the general public to kind of... Because that idea of gaslighting will row back on what they've always felt, which was that women are much better at controlling and manipulating through use of emotion And language, you know, I mean, I'm gaslighting at a low level. Well, you know, when a woman like just reorders a room or a house, changes the house around, and then is angry with the bloke because he doesn't know where stuff is.
Yeah.
That's gaslighting.
Yes, gaslighting for sure. Yeah. I mean, if I...
It's not as bad as fucking your sister, but, you know, you know. And this is where I think we're at with, like, the gender debate is, obviously, we've had sort of 4 or 5 years of very ambitious narrative around the sort of fluidity of gender roles and how it's all a construct and we can change it. And then, yeah, I was at the swimming pool the other day and I saw 3 women swimming in a row at the same time so they could carry on talking. And I thought, I just don't feel like in my lifetime I'm going to see that with men.
No.
Do you know what I mean? At the swimming pool.
I would do that with a girlfriend.
Yeah. Why?
We love to talk. We love, you know, we love a gossip and talking and hanging out. And like, I just came back from Denmark with my best friend, and like, we just had a great time together. And
yeah. It was just, you talked the whole time.
We just spoke the whole time. There was nothing but talking the whole time. Dinner and we talked. And that, well, actually, we watched documentaries and we didn't talk during the documentaries. But we spoke the whole time. We got loads to talk about.
But did you not at some point think, like, it'd be nice to have a bit of not talking, but then I'll feel like if I just say, look, just back off, like, that would feel...
No, because that just naturally happens if we need it. But right, most of the time we don't.
It is... That need to talk... I just... Because there is that statistic about the number of words that women will use per day versus
way more
men.
Than men.
But is it... Are they constructive? That's what I want to know. You know,
absolutely not. We chat an absolute load of old bollocks, but it's comforting and we enjoy, we just enjoy that sort of sisterly relationship that we have with each other. But we speak absolute waffle most of the time. But it's like an enjoyable thing. I can't even describe why it's enjoyable.
Is it almost like a physical enjoyment just to keep going? Like you get like a tempo thing, you get going with it.
You get a do you know what it is? There's validation involved in it as well. So there's, I would say that I used to be quite codependent, which is a form of addiction, but it's an addiction to people. So you feel that you are only validated by the amount of friends you've got or the people you've got around you. And if you're on your own, you get FOMO and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So I would say in my, before I had sort of a trauma in my family, I was probably quite codependent. And I would say that I'm not alone in that with women, which is this idea that you're not validated unless you've got a man around or if you've got a girl around and stuff like that. Women can have that and can have that that thing a lot. But with Babs and I do feel a sense of validation that I have got. When I look at her, I've got the coolest best mate. She's wicked. Yeah. We had a big falling out once. We didn't speak to each other for a year, but that was just due to circumstances. But she's come back into my life over the last 6 months, and it's been lovely. And it doesn't matter what we talk about. It's just that we just love hanging out with each other. We just really enjoy each other's company. Because what will happen in those moments is pockets of magic happen. So we talk and talk and talk and talk.
Yeah.
And then every now and again, because we're both creative, so she's a fine artist.
Yeah.
Every now and again, she'll say something that's really great for something I'm doing, or I'll say something that's really great for what she's doing. So in that frenzy of chat, there will be something magic that happens from
it's
it.
It's like improv.
Always. Yeah, it's basically...
It's just improv, just keep going, throwing shit at the wall.
We'll just say yes to each other constantly.
But like, I suppose that's the thing where as a bloke I would have like a degree of shame if I realised that the chat was poor chat, so I'd just shut up then. I wouldn't think to keep going, this will be all right, we're just ticking over now, we're treading water, we're treading chat water. I'd go, okay, it's a bit quiet time there, that was a bit cliched what we just discussed.
Rich does worry, my boyfriend does worry so much more about what he's saying, how he's saying it and who he's saying it to, whereas I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
He does worry about it. He will do this thing, and I don't know if you do this, he'll... keep himself up at night thinking about the things he said the night before and whether or not he bothered anyone or if he...
Yeah, no, I have a real issue. I could name like incidents going back 15 years that I could still blush at. Like, just a little social faux pas. I mean, even when... So when I was 14, right, I was being taught GCSE history by this teacher and got on really well with her, you know. And I sort of savoured being, like, she was quite a humorous teacher. She was quite an attractive teacher, you know. I enjoyed that.
I used to like my history teacher, Mr. Twigger.
Mr. Twigger?
Yeah, he was quite attractive and he was just, like, just nice, you know. Yeah. Just cared about me.
Well, she was in that mould as well. And then one day she was struggling to get control of the classroom. And she'd referred to herself before as the bitch, right? And it was an all-boys school and stuff. So some of the female teachers did kind of enjoy this weird kind of like overshare type thing. But anyway, so she was struggling to get control of class. And then so I went, hey, lads, let the bitch speak, right? Thinking that I was in a place of security in which I could get away with that. And I just remember she just tore, like the whole room went quiet. So every single lad in that room, even the naughtiest ones, knew that I was out of order. And then she just went at me. Jeffrey was fucking like humiliated me for ages and ages.
Did you ever speak to her about it?
It just changed like the dynamic between us and
but
stuff.
But you could have unchanged that dynamic by explaining to her.
Oh no, I did. I did.
Oh, you did.
Yeah, yeah. So she even while she was like raging at me, she accepted that calling herself the bitch in front of a group of 14-year-old boys. Well, I was gonna say asking for it. I mean, that's not really what you say now. But... So just a bit of a hype for the tour here. So rather than just keep throwing dates at you, it's been pointed out to me that my tickets are on the cheap side. 14 quid, roughly, on average. Some a bit dearer, some a bit less so, before you all start bitching. But 14 quid. I'm like, you see all these left-wing comedians? Do you know what I mean? Their socialism doesn't extend to their fans, does it? They think the state should be distributing more money against poor people. They don't think they should be distributing their money. Well, look, given my politics, I am ashamed of how this borderline communist pricing that I'm doing. So I promise you this, that the spring extension in 2020, that'll be the last time that I engage in this Corbynista type price, unless, of course, Jeremy Corbyn gets in and I'm nationalised, and then it'll be like 4 quid a ticket. And it won't be anywhere near as good because I won't have as much time to, you know, spend on it because there's no investment, because the price point is too low. That's kind of how socialism works. But look, all I'm saying is I think my tickets are reasonably priced for this one. Obviously, in the next year or so, when I do a tour again, I'll become a massive fucking deal. Do you know what I mean? So if you are a tight fucker and, hey, Yorkshire, Scotland, I see.
People have never been funnier than they are right now. Mm. And I want to put a mirror on the way that society is right now rather than putting a mirror on the way that... I'm trying to sort of start a rally in a way. I think it's funny to sort of take the mick out of these Instagram women that get their, you know, like Caroline Calloway, who's just, I don't know if you know,
I don't know
who she is, but she's got one of the most, her Instagram account is just, it's just mad.
Mm.
She, like, there was recently a photograph of her with her legs spread in a bikini. And she's on a beach, you can't see her head, but it's just her body.
Mm.
And she's talking about, the opening sentence is something like, 4 weeks ago, my dad committed suicide. 2 weeks ago, something else happened. And then it says, I will not let anyone tell me that I am not a sexy, grief-ridden creep. It was just mad. Whoa. And it had loads and loads of likes. And I think that stuff is just, you know, hilarious.
Well, I think that I was looking at a couple of sort of female celebrities that I follow. And I noticed, like, Emily Atack, you know, the ones you're supposed to, and she's a great looking girl. Like, the ones that have a bit of boob in them exponentially get higher likes from women as well.
And we're like, oh yeah, we got rid of Page Three, didn't we? But we've just put it back on Instagram.
I suppose what a feminist would say was, like, they've taken ownership of that. That instead of, but then it's harder to monetize, though, isn't it? Like, but then what was it? What was it for Page Three? It's like 300 quid to get your tits out.
It
wasn't much money. But you know, it's like you do it for PR. It's exposure for your tits. Then there's another tit circuit, the corporate tit circuit, where you just get them out for a Saudi prince and you get $2,500 a tit. And if you got three, then you're doing well. The woman from Total Recall, she smashes it.
Great reference.
She smashes it on that circuit. But yeah, I mean, that was one of the things that, like, you discussed in the show that I think was tricky for some of the audience members, because, like, there is, like I say, this weird thing of, like, don't go at women. But, like, you know, there are, you know, I suppose there's also, you know, the kind of diets and stuff that are being promoted now, it gets trickier.
It ain't feminism. People can at me all they like, I won't reply, but I don't think it's feminism to get your bits out, no matter how empowering it looks.
What if it's just before you get run over by the king's horse?
Still not feminism.
If you did it in the suffrage movement and you just managed to splay your legs just as the... And so it got like... The whole world was like, well, she... Look at that, like... Just look at what she did for feminism.
Look at that.
Yeah.
No, it's still not feminism. I don't think... I mean, people have their own interpretations of it, but yeah. My interpretation of feminism doesn't involve sexual gratification of one's body, nudity, or... Because I don't know who it's for. Like, it's like... I think Lizzo's music's great, but I want her to, like, stop booty shaking on stage. I'm not a huge fan of it because I don't want to see that. Like I don't find it empowering to see. Like I can do that. I can look at my own fat white ass in a mirror and bounce it up and down. Like I don't feel cheated as a fat person that I haven't seen enough big fat asses like booty shaking on stage at Hyde Park. Yeah. I don't feel that way.
It's empowering.
It's not empowering, Jeff. It's not.
Well, there's a weird thing about empowering is I'm quite an individual. Right? I'm an individualistic person. So the moment I hear the word empowering, I think, who gave me power? I already had it.
I had power.
Yeah,
it's
I had it to begin with. It's not yours to give away. I do know what you mean. And I also think, like, I find it odd that there's all these people walking around just feeling powerless and they just need other people to do shit.
They still feel powerless after you've given them power, though.
Yeah.
These people don't have power because of their upbringing, because of some uncle somewhere that said something to them when they were younger. They didn't feel empowered at work and stuff. There's no amount of arse shaking that Lizzo's going to do that's going to empower a load of women. The empowerment doesn't come from pop stars or notable figures. It comes from within, and unfortunately some people have it and some people don't.
What about when Madonna did it? Was it that slightly different, a different sort of political landscape?
It was a different era, it was a different time.
Yeah, I mean, she took it with that whole sex book where you just picture her smoking with her tits out trying to hail a taxi. I don't really know.
Smoking with her tits out trying to hail a taxi is a great name for a...
Yeah, that's your next show.
Yeah.
Comics do this all the time. Take a sentence, make it a thing. Do you know one of the... And I think also like any kind of political move. Do you remember in the last decade, there was atheism. That was the big thing all the lefties were on about.
Oh, like with Richard Dawkins. He was big, wasn't he?
Yeah, and it was all about atheism and people sort of ran... And then everyone got used to the arguments and then all you can do is kind of like rip the shit out of those arguments. And I was thinking maybe this wave of feminism is reaching that point where we've heard certain things so much. And one of the ways that I think this is happening is in films. Whenever I see a film now, you see the interviews that they do and they go, it's got a really good, strong, female, kick-ass lead. It's always feisty, sassy, fucking scientist, can fight and all this stuff. But I don't mind that they have these characters, but they keep saying it like this is the first film to have ever done this. And you go, I think we've had a lot of those, man. Like we had The Hunger Games, you know what I mean?
Uma Thurman in Kill Bill.
Yeah,
we've had it years before well. There's loads.
But it just comes right. But people want to make out like this is something that's happening for the first time. It's
like Jameela Jamil makes out that everything she attaches herself to, she's the first person who ever said it.
Yeah. Or who's that one? Rose, what's her name? The one that was the big Me Too.
Oh, Rose.
Rose Army.
Yeah. What's her?
Can't remember.
She's the Army.
Maybe her surname is Army.
It's not Army. But she was on Charmed, wasn't she? And she was.
Yes, yeah.
And
she was one of the big whistleblowers on
Weinstein.
On Me Too. And it's like with Extinction Rebellion. It's like Greenpeace was a thing. This is not. We used to get told when we were kids about acid rain and the ozone layer. But for some reason, we all feel like there's this strange presentism. And, you know, with the films, with the female heroines, I would say that there's been loads of films that have had kick-ass female leads now. To the point where, like, the really revolutionary thing to do would be just have...
Five white guys.
A really meek woman, just like, who just needs validation from a man. And at the end of the film, that's what she works out.
All she wants is just a man to tell her she's okay.
Yeah.
That's
just
a beautiful film.
Just to scoop her up and stuff. She doesn't have to be, like, leading the fucking army. Do you know what I mean? And... Because it just feels like that it sets this agenda now for films. Because I'm into Game of Thrones, and no spoiler alert, but I've certainly noticed that as the series has gone on, you can almost see the point at which Weinstein happened, and they were like, oh, we've shown a lot of tit in this. What if the ones with the tits were also the powerful ones?
Most people
There's no penis in it.
No penis in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, but who wants to see that? I don't want to see that. I'd rather see some tits.
Yeah, out of context. Penis has to have context, I think, for women. That's one thing blokes have never understood. This is where the dick pic phenomenon comes from. Because blokes think, as a bloke, I like seeing the sexy bits all the time.
Yeah.
So if I was a woman, that would always be great, just seeing a dick, you know. But it's not how women feel about it, is
No, unless you, I mean, we like to see an erect penis.
Yeah.
That's always nice. It's, and it's like, I like you as well. That's what that means.
Mm.
But we only want to see that erect penis if someone attractive is at the end of it.
Yeah. Because you can't. And you're not tired or busy.
Yeah. Either, all of those have to be the reasons.
Yeah.
And then once you've got all of those things ticked, then you can see an erect penis. However, it's different, I think, for chaps sometimes, which is the sexy bits. Well, they're
always welcome.
Always welcome.
Yeah, they're always welcome. God
bless breastfeeding, which did that to you all.
Yeah, I think about that recently. If you actually stop and interrogate it, it's kind of gross.
It's breastfeed. It's your mother. It's to do with
but
your
then
mother.
Women got breastfed as well, so
yeah, we like tits too. I've just watched The L Word for 2 weeks straight. I'm on season 5. I binged the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's a great TV show.
What is The L Word?
It's a show about these powerful lesbians in LA who basically all fuck each other. But, you know, the acting's good. The woman from Flashdance plays one of the leads in it. The sex is good in it. It's quite, like, everyone looks amazing.
Yeah.
It's very melodramatic and a bit soapy, but I like to have something to switch off to, so I decided to...
The L Word. I mean, I've got quite a lot of male listeners. I think there's going to be a lot of people searching that now.
There's a lot of shagging in it, guys. Yeah. Lots of, and all the women are hot as well.
That's awesome.
There's only one, they're like lipstick lesbians, as they refer to them. There's not many, what they refer
proper
to
ones,
in the show.
Eh?
But butch
the ones we grew up with, yeah?
Yeah.
You know, they went the full 9 yards, didn't they?
Lesbians I grew up with do not enter on the L Word now.
No. I am... Why is it harder for a female comic to have contrarian views? Like, why were they almost expecting you to have this kind of like Mary Poppins sort of singing to the animals? Again, is it this
sexism idea? Still, because women still have that internalized sexism in them, that there's this role that a woman has to be, and that you have to be. And there's the other thing, if you look at women when they're at school, or you look at girls when they're at school, you know, you have the popular groups of girls, and they're always a certain type of girl, let's be honest, basic. And then all the people that don't fit within that mold, they're in another group. And if you are parents and you have young daughters and they're not fitting into the popular group, thank your fucking lucky stars, because they're going to be legends when they're older. Because all the basic girls at my school, I don't know what they're doing. But I didn't fit into any of that stuff. But it's that idea that there's a certain type of woman that you have to be in. If you don't fit with that type of woman, like, there was this WhatsApp group that all the women comedians are on, and I got invited into it, and then I was in it for about 9 minutes, and I looked at it and all the messages, and it was basically this hierarchy system where you've got loads of like lower level, I wouldn't call them lower level, just like, you know, female comedians that are not further along in their career as others, wanting the top level comedians to be replying to their messages, not getting replied to them. And there's this imposed hierarchy system in this group. And I was there for 9 minutes, and then the next message I saw was Jade Adams has left this group. So I wasn't getting involved in that shit. That's where I get in trouble. Things where I've got a adhere to some sort of power system, that enforced power system that isn't the law.
But isn't that like the irony of it is, the whole point of the liberal left project is to not have expectations of people by age, race or gender, right? That's one of the core principles, all sexuality.
They don't give a shit about class, though. Class is different.
Well,
that's a different conversation. You can't have any expectations with all of the things that make you look good, but when it comes to class, they don't give a fuck.
Well, it's been a blind spot, isn't it? You know, the way that the people have reacted to you is sort of suggests that one is that old-fashioned thing of left is nice, you know, like a simplistic view of left-right politics. And I know your political sort of character is much more complex than simply that. And then the second thing is that women are nice. You know, those are two expectations. That's prejudging people. That's prejudice, isn't it?
It's not. You're not allowed to. I've been rewatching Ali McBeal recently as well. I've proper gone for all of the 2000s or 90s shows that I used to watch.
Yeah.
One of the things I love about watching Ali McBeal is the, you know, they're all getting away with fat phobia. claustrophobia quite well, quite easily. It's horrific in that.
Really?
But the other thing that I really love about it is everyone is able to talk to each other about how they feel, about how they treat them, and then they get over it by saying the word bygones. And I want to live in a world where I'm able to tell people how I feel about the way that they've treated me and get over it immediately after, hoping that you won't make that same mistake again. But people get so offended so quickly, and I'm the type of woman who does that sort of thing, but I'm told is that I'm not a nice woman because I do that, because I tell people how I feel, or I can't pretend. And it's like, it's that pretense that I feel that sometimes there's that, when we're talking about things that are forced upon this, you know, what a nice woman, it's this living in pretense. I can't do that. I'm not able to be pretentious. I have to live in reality. So if something... You can't tell me something's black when it's actually white, like Ariana Grande. I mean, that's just a joke. But I...
is that one of her songs?
No, she... no, it's Michael Jackson's song. But Ariana Grande isn't black, but she uses black culture to... to...
She sounds kind of Hispanic.
Yeah, she's not at all.
What is she?
White.
Yeah. So she's white?
She's got half... She's got an Italian parent or something.
Right.
She's white. She uses black culture to make herself a millionaire.
Yeah.
There's loads of people that do that, though. This is a thing. It's one of my favourite things at the moment is watching, and this is my new show, so I'm going to, the new show is called Here's One I Culturally Appropriated Earlier. And I, because I took a pop at feminism last year, I'm going to take a pop at white people this year. Because one of the funniest things I see is white people trying to hold on to relevance for dear life by attaching themselves to diversity, but making sure that their face is in the middle of it as well. So I'm my sort of next show is going to be about tech, because I went to Japan and they made me dress up like them, and I went to Mexico and we like immersed ourselves in a culture. So I've sort of travelled around the world trying to absorb cultures to make myself relevant. And then my father found out this incredibly disappointing secret that as far back as the 14th century, my family are originally from Bristol.
Yeah.
So
unbroken, West Country.
Cut through me like a stick of rock. I am white. Except for my half-Chinese brother, which I'm definitely going to wheel out, because that's definitely going to...
That's what the industry needs.
That's what they want.
You need a half-Chinese brother. And if you don't have one, find one, buy one. They're cheaper. They're a lot cheaper.
There's loads of them.
If you import them from China, there's factories there.
This one's Bristolian, but we're just not letting him speak.
A half-Chinese with a Bristolian accent, doesn't
he? Yeah, he's so normal as well. He's an electrician.
What's his name?
Kane Pang.
That's your half-brother?
My half-brother, yeah.
Kane Pang. It sounds like an electrician's name, doesn't it?
Kane Pang?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has he got a proper West Country accent?
Yeah, he's really Bristolian.
Yeah.
And he's good at his job as well. Won 2 awards last year. I mean, I'm the one
probably
who wins
diversity
the
targets, isn't it? So, you know. This tour, when is it happening? When is it?
So, it's happening from now, actually. I've got...
We're in late November 2019.
Yeah. Late November 2019, so up until April 26th of 2020, where I'm in Bristol for my final show at the Old Vic, which is quite the lovely homecoming.
And the lion be done by Kane Pang. Well, I'd like to close with the guests doing some letters.
Yes, please.
We've got a few here. This first one's from Tim in Shropshire.
Hi, Tim.
It's coming up on Christmas. Every year, I outspend my wife by a factor of 4 to 1. Everyone in the family talks about the pressure I'm under to top last year. So I'm presuming he means how much he spends on her versus what she spends on him. She faces no such pressure and phones in my gift every time. I'm planning on phoning in a very basic gift option for her this year. What do you reckon? He gets her nice stuff. He spends more, which is often the case between men and women. But he's fed up with it, and he's now planning to be equal to him. It depends. Like, if this is the only thing that's wrong in your marriage, I'd just let it roll. What do you think? If he's done it every year, it would be helpful to know how many years it's been happening for.
This is still going to be a problem forever, though, and at some point this is going to rear its ugly head. So yeah. I would say, because I like to get stuff out and done and over with. Bring it up now and tell her. I should give her, I think, before her birthday. So don't be an arsehole to her on her birthday.
This is Christmas.
Don't be an arsehole to her on Christmas. Yeah. Have a conversation with her. Be responsible. Don't retaliate and be spiteful. Speak to her and say, look, I outdo you on presents every year. I don't want to argue about this, but I either want you to make more of an effort or I'm going to make less of an effort. We need to match it.
I think, you know, there's little clues in what kind of man we're dealing with here. Where he says by a factor of 4 to 1. So I think he has Googled price points for what she's bought him.
He's Googled her presents. I can't believe.
I think so. Yeah. I'm just trying to work out. Tim is that sort of name as well.
Women want experiences. I think that a really good idea for Tim is to stop buying her stuff. None of us need any more stuff.
Yeah.
Like, buy an experience. Get her a massage. Go to Babington House in Somerset for an afternoon and have facials and things like that. And then go swimming together and relax and drink.
But what we're going to be like, I really look forward to that. And for today, I would like to open something as well. That would be, I think a lot of women would still want. Yeah, and what's my thing to have for,
a little thing.
For today? Yeah. Little nicky nacky note.
Yeah, but you would put that experience in a present, and then you would wrap it a few times, and you'd put some little crap stuff in it, and you'd put like maybe like an apple or an onion, and then you'd laugh at the onion, and then you'd open it up, and then there would be this card in there, and then it would be this experience. That would be the present.
I might only be thinking about my own marriage now. The experience, I can imagine it being said with inverted commas. And one of the experiences is not having anything new to wear on Christmas Day. That'd be a new experience.
Oh, would it?
This letter is from Tammy. I haven't heard from me. Tammy?
That's not a real name. They've made that up. That's someone you know, and Tamara. They've changed their name.
Tamara. I always thought like Tammys were like cold at the mid-90s.
You're thinking, isn't it the two Tammys on Parks and Recreation? Ron Swanson's two ex-wives are both called Tammy. Tammy 1 and Tammy 2, and they're both arseholes.
I've been business with Tammy in my time, but I mean, I don't think like she was killed or anything. I see she's still around. Could be her.
It's Tammy Girl, which was an old shop by E-Tam.
It sounds a bit tardy, doesn't it? Tammy. Tammy sounds punchy.
I don't think that's a real name. Prove it, Tammy.
Could be, yeah. It could be. She didn't give a location, so... Tammy says, I fancy one of the sales reps at my job. He's a twat, but I like him. Okay. I've thrown out all the signals, but I get the impression the modern climate is making him worried about making a move. Modern climate, because this is a workplace thing, so maybe he's a bit cautious in and around that. I could just tell him I want to bang him, but that pisses me off and he should show some courage. Is he worth the effort? So they're working together. So he's a rep, right? She hasn't said what job she does, but imagine she's like a gobby Dawn out of the office. She sounds gobby, to be fair.
She sounds Tammy.
Why did he just fuck me over the thing? Why is, he hasn't fucked me yet? What's wrong with him?
I'm
leaning forward. Do you know what I mean? Laughing at his shitty jokes.
Is he been flirting with her? I mean, there's loads of questions I've got. He's been flirting with her, then yeah, he's been a bit of a wuss. And they both should just look at each other and say less fuck, which is how I got my chat. I just said you fancy me, and that was it. But if he hasn't been flirting with her, then I'd say that he needs to stay well away from her.
Yeah.
And this is an unhealthy attachment that Tammy's got.
Yes, but she seems quite confident, doesn't she? She's a very confident woman. Like,
most people are confident, though.
But she doesn't seem to have accepted the fact that he might just not want to sleep with her.
Maybe
might
he doesn't enjoy, want her.
Enjoy her company. The modern climate. So if she's wrong, it's quite funny that she's put it down to like PC gone mad. Like back in the day, she had all the reps. Maybe it was better. Like she really resents feminism. She was getting dick everywhere. And then ever since Me Too, it's like...
can't get dick anywhere.
No compliments even. Do you know what I mean? Like she said, how low cut has this fucking blouse got to be before I get a fucking...
She's coming dressed as Jodie Marsh and no one's taking any notice.
The old bandolier belt that she was wearing.
Yeah.
Now Jodie, if the modern Jodie Marsh would have an issue, wouldn't she? Like she'd be like, here's my tits and mental health.
Tits can only be, I said this in my show, which is their inspirational porn has overtaken soft porn for the things that if you strapped the idea that someone might get laid to a product, they would buy it in the 90s. But now if you strap a good deed to a product, it'll make them buy it.
Yes.
But it's time to blend those two, and we need some
I just don't know, like, that myth about, like, good guys and stuff like that. We know there's in this industry, the nicer they are on stage or screen, the worse they are off it. There's exceptions to that. But as a rule, and that's not just comics, that's in showbiz generally.
That's people in general.
Yes, I suppose it exacerbates it, doesn't it, show business, but...
People that are too nice, there's some that they're hiding. Rich always says that I'm way too cynical, but I'm not. I'm just a realist. And I know that people don't ever offer anything for nothing. The only people that do that is people that love you. Love takes time. People do not love you immediately. The people that do love you immediately have probably got some issues. Mm. But what I realised once I'd seen how people made themselves popular, i.e. my sister, who was very popular at school, was to sit back and go, well, actually, she's thick as fuck.
Yeah.
And I would rather be...
I do like thick women. I do.
Do you?
Yeah, I feel... I've just been as honest as I can be. Like, temporarily, because they just seem nice, don't they? Bimbos are brilliant.
I love a bimbo.
Bimbos are fantastic, because they're normally quite upbeat, aren't they? They're bubbly, they're effervescent.
Bubbly, what great words.
And they're challenging, they laugh at your jokes and stuff like that. I mean, like, but good 5 years into a marriage with a bimbo, that is...
You're hard. Still happy.
Yes, yeah. But you're just sort of like... She just like, and you just really want to watch like a Netflix documentary, but she's like on season 9 of something really bad.
Desperate Housewives.
Yeah, but I'll watch that stuff, you know, but she probably thinks like Desperate Housewives, she thinks that's like her kind of Sopranos. She thinks it's,
why don't you just say, look, mate, I think it's time.
But I think the way she's put it is that would really annoy her, and the moment she had to do that, he'd be less sexy because she'd had to make the move.
Well, I think
is that common for women?
I don't find it less sexy that I had to walk up to Rich and tell him that he fancied me before he made a move.
Right.
But I don't think that that's less sexy. He dominates in other ways. But she doesn't know, just by this response, maybe he just do it and then find out if he's not got the... He's not got the goods to back up the...
Stop pissing about, Tommy. It is a different time, Tammy. And if you still want to be getting that sales rep dick, you need to move with the dick times that we use. This letter is... who would win it? So we always do a mythical, hypothetical political fight here. Who would win in a fight between Justin Trudeau and Boris Johnson? We'd normally do it domestically, but now we've moved international here. Would Justin black up because he thought that would give him the edge? But let's focus on the Trudeau versus Boris Johnson. So Trudeau, I mean, like, people always think of Boris Johnson. Boris Johnson's quite stocky, isn't he? He is 6 foot.
Yeah, he is stocky. I think, Boris would win that fight.
But Trudeau is in a lot better shape. Just forget, even if he's a bit of a fanny generally, Trudeau, I'd imagine... If he's gymming it, he's just going to be able to move quicker. He's going to have more body strength if he just does basic.
You think about weights. The type of person that needs to have the ability to stick up for themselves when they've failed at something.
Yeah.
Rather than go, I don't know. And like when someone says to him, how many times have you blacked up? And he says, to be honest, I really don't know.
Yeah.
Like to not be able to back, like there's just something a little bit, he just seems a little bit like a pansy.
Yes.
Whereas Boris seems a little sort of, on the edge sometimes,
and I think that's switch up.
Like he's Lenny from Of Mice and Men,
but managed to become prime minister.
Yeah, well, that's but, yeah, that, yeah, that, yeah, that's what he's done.
Yes,
yeah, it's just smoke and mirrors, and he's become prime minister. He shouldn't be prime minister.
There should and be he no shouldn't thing. Be stroking any pets.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So you think so? What would it be though? If we think about the actual physical mechanics of the fight, would it be windmilling arms? Would it be physical overwhelming?
Boris would pick something up and clock him right on the money bit on the temple. And then
well, Trudeau would perhaps think that he'd be up on his toes, adopting quite a classical stance.
Yeah, Trudeau would think, oh, right now I should do an impression of a black boxer and that will win. And then
yes.
And then by the time that's happened, Boris has found a cone and he's hit him somewhere on the head.
Yeah, like a sneaky move as well. Like,
yeah.
No weapons. They're both green, no weapons. And as Trudeau was just... doing something vain, perhaps, that would be like his hubris, as he turned away briefly, Boris would just clock him one.
Yeah.
So, straight KO there for Boris. That was from Ruzzy, by the way.
Hi, Ruzzy.
Yeah. And
great question.
Listen, just before we go, your tour, anything else you need to plug? So the tour is...
The tour is...
What's it called again?
It's called The Ballad of Kylie Jenner's Old Face, and it will be in a town near you, and all the dates are on my website.
Any towns you rattle off? Just a few? Just
I got Reading, I got Maidenhead, Swindon, Nottingham, Brighton, Bristol, Edinburgh, Glasgow, Birmingham... there's loads of them.
Cool.
I love jadeadams.com and Jade with a Y.
Cool. Well, listen, I've seen the show. It's a brilliant show. People should come and see it wherever it is. And Jade Adams, thanks very much for being on What Most People Think.
Thanks, Jeff.
Okay, so that is the end of episode 20 of What Most People Think. I hope you enjoyed the chat with Jade. I do recommend the tour show highly because she's just got something different in terms of social commentary and around gender issues, but not just that. You know, I think she's a really distinctive voice in British comedy. Like every episode, I'm going to end by reading out a couple of the most recent five-star, I was going to say 155-star reviews. But what have we got here? We got something from Hammersmith. Okay, so I'm going to give it a bit of a London accent here, West London. This is from Hammersmith 1915. It says, I don't listen to or watch much comedy these days. Jeff is on the right side of woke, making it funny again. So much so, I booked tickets for Epsom in March. It'll be my first live comedy outing in more than 2 decades. Whoa, keep up the good work. No pressure there. No pressure. 2 decades, man. Come on, fuck. Well, look, I'll pack some extra jokes for that one. This is from Mr. Bear, UK. This podcast is such a refreshing change, as is Jeff's humour. More, please, Jeff. Oh, Mr. Bear? Is that because your bear's in? I don't know, but we could. This is from Sunny Bristol. Great show, my favourite podcast. A voice of sanity, fighting the fight against the endemic of woke-itis. Inoculate yourselves. Get a shot of Jeff's podcast now. Disclaimer, this is not official Department of Health advice. There you go. Look, thank you very much for all those reviews. It's always nice to read them. I'm glad you're enjoying it. I always enjoy doing these podcasts. As ever, subscribe, like, rate, recommend. If you think people are going to like this, tell them, because numbers went up significantly last time. And of course, if there's anything I've said that you want to call bullshit on or just argue with me about, it's whatmostpeoplethinkuk@gmail.com. But until next time, this has been me. What Most People Think.